The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Yes, welcome to episode 182 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Gabriel Antoniazzi, and it's Gordon DL in the studio as ever.
Yeah, great to see you. Nice quiet weekend.
Can you tell I'm sounding a bit hoarse?
Mate, this is going to be one of the, I don't know, interesting podcasts I've ever done. I'm sitting next to a man who's been at York on a stag two days.
Yep, Friday morning until yesterday afternoon, and to make it worse, I was the best man, so I was in charge, and I had to, you know, I was making the groom drink double, but then I was having to drink double as well. Please drink responsibly at home if you're listening.
Can I ask you a question? Are we supposed to still have that music in the room?
I like the music. Do you not like the music?
No. Producer Jay?
Yes, it's the intro.
Fucking, how long's the intro?
Yeah, it's quite long. Do you want me to fade it down, Daz?
Yeah, fade it
down. Have you had a night out as well? Was that you?
No. I spoke to you yesterday. I was very quiet.
You behave yourself all weekend.
Yeah, I was very, very quiet. I went, just sat and watched the golf last night. A bit boring, but I like the golf.
What, the women's golf or the men's golf?
The men's.
Nelly Korda won.
She's brilliant.
She beat Charlie Hall by one shot.
Yeah, she's brilliant. I didn't see that. I just watched the playoff with the guys. I just love watching if it's a big tournament, major. So very, very quiet, didn't do much. I'm struggling, obviously, with my hip and my back. Going to a chiropractor today, and then I've got a hip surgeon tomorrow to have a chat.
Oh, yeah. You know, my dad got his hip up 2 months ago.
I don't think I need a hip up.
Why?
There's a problem in my hip that's obviously affecting my...
What do you mean it's affecting what?
I struggle to walk. See if I do from here to my car, everything seizes up. Terrible. I can't walk. I literally can't. I've not played.
You're not golfing?
I've played 3 holes. That's all I can play. 3 holes, and then I have to walk off.
That's bad.
Did you
have the injection?
I've had, yeah.
It's not that.
Listen.
Get a new hip.
I don't need a new hip.
What do you need?
Fucking somebody to sort this so that I can walk. But I'll tell you what, I've never worked with somebody that turned around before the intro and says, by the way, I'm as rough as fuck. If I struggle, stop the podcast. I might need to go for a shit.
You know me, mate. You know me.
I'll tell you what, I reckon you will.
Listen.
You can see it in your face.
Mate, let me tell you about the stag do. So stag do, plan for York, okay?
Love York.
MD's
not been to York. Brilliant, isn't it?
Everyone at home, if you've not been to York, go to York. It was only 2.5 hours in the train from Edinburgh. Nice and easy, one way down. But the stag likes horse racing. And this was the only weekend we could do it. It's been organised for ages, so the York races weren't on. So we had to go to Doncaster for the races.
How far?
20-minute train from York, so it was fine.
That's okay.
You ever been to Doncaster?
No, is that a shithole?
It ain't York.
Yeah, is it?
It ain't York.
20 minutes away. Is Doncaster a bit rough?
Oh, yes. Rough as toast. But listen, this is not me hating on Doncaster. What a place. You would not have believed the deal they do. I'm going to assume you've never heard of it. It's called the Crisis Buster. Right?
Right, okay.
We'd never even heard of it. So I was, as I said, the best man. I was in charge of planning it. And the plan was we go to Doncaster races, we come back, get on the train and go out in York again. But when we were in Doncaster, get taxis from the train station, 5 minutes to the race course. Tax driver says, oh, you boys should be staying in Donny tonight. I said, what do you mean, staying in Donny? He said, you not heard of the Crisis Buster? This is my dad.
I'm right into this, mate. You have got my attention.
So we're all like, no, of course we've not heard about the Crisis. Crisis Buster, 20 quid, all you can drink, all you can eat all night. And we're like, what do you mean? In one place? Any pub in Doncaster. And I'm instantly sitting in the front thinking, this guy's talking shite. You know, that's just boom. Guy's talking shite.
Every pub you get into, but you have to pay 20 quid.
No.
You pay 20 quid at the beginning of the pubs. How do the other pubs know you're paying?
Okay. So, listen, I'm
loving this.
So we're just thinking straight away, like, that boy's talking shit. We get to the races, blah, 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 having a great time. People are coming up to us. The groom's wearing a full bridal costume. He's getting it. All the attention in the world. Nice looking guy as well, but he was loving himself in that. Uh-huh. And he was getting, what's happening, you know, what yous all doing, Scottish lads, what yous doing down here?
What's that? Is that supposed to be a Doncaster
accent? That was more just generic Yorkshire.
Yeah.
A lot of people from Hull as well.
You met people from Glasgow.
Right? And everyone's going, oh, you've got to stay in Donny for the crisis buster. And we're starting to think, right, this must be a real thing. So we turn up to this pub. You get in there, and there's a list of 7 or 8 pubs and clubs that are on the crisis buster, and they're all within a 1 mile radius. You get a band, yellow luminous band, says crisis buster on it, mm-hmm. starts at 8, finishes at 1 in the morning, right? So you walk in, no one's allowed, no one gets served drink for the half an hour before the crisis buster starts. 8 o'clock on the dot, bell rings, crisis buster time. Everyone up to the bar, free drink. And it's not, oh, just beers, anything you want. I was having sex on the beach all night. Boom.
Love a bit of sex on the beach.
I know you do. And this was the one catch was...
Especially with a band on.
Oh, come on yourself.
She's going like this. The one catch is, lads, you're only allowed one drink every 10 minutes. I go, every 10 minutes, no problem.
So, right, work that out.
6 drinks an hour for 5 hours.
It's 30 drinks.
Yeah. £20 and free food.
What kind of food?
Pizza.
Pub had free pizza.
Yeah, unlimited free pizza. All you had to do was go on your phone and type in, I want a pizza, and they just bring you out a pizza, margarita or pepperoni.
And you're allowed a pizza every 10 minutes?
Whatever you want, mate. It was unbelievable.
How many pubs did you get?
5. 5 of them. Until one in the morning.
But can you actually get to bar? Because it must be mobbed.
Mate.
Everybody's in for $20, isn't
it? Yes, but mate, it was jumping. It was like Magaluf. It was like Magaluf. We couldn't believe our eyes. Couldn't believe it.
Fucking going to do. Is it just every Saturday night?
Friday and Saturday.
£40.
Mate, honestly, we couldn't believe it. £20. £20.
How do they make money out of that?
I don't know, mate. It's the crisis buster. So massive shout out to Doncaster. What a place. And shout out to the Stag as well. Gavin, my mate Gavin. Shout out. Great time.
Well done, Gavin. All the best when you get married. Listen, what I'm going to say is, if anybody out there is going to Donny, please get in touch because I'm coming with you. I've got £20 in my pocket.
Oh, mate, we need a trip to Donny. You've been married 4 times.
Three, mate.
Did you have a stag do every time?
Yeah.
Where was your best stag do? Your not that you've been on, your actual best stag do.
My best one?
Yeah.
I just went, me and my mate.
Where to?
My best man. Over to Spain.
Right.
Over at Fingarola. We had a few days in Fingarola. Just the 2 days. Right. I hate all that. Fucking, don't get me wrong, I've not got enough pals to fill. You know what I mean? I've not got enough pals to fill a taxi. So me and my mate went over and we had a fantastic time. Fell asleep on the beach and everything. No, one of the ones, you got up in the morning and the first thing you go for is a Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that?
I don't like Bloody Mary, but I've had a couple.
Yeah, when you got up in the morning, that's...
Is that your morning drink on holiday? Bloody Mary?
If I'm struggling, I don't really bevy a lot on holiday, right? I like a couple of beers, but I'm not a big beer drinker, right? But because it's warm and you're on holiday, I like a couple of beers, but I don't tank it, you know? Don't get me wrong, I've been with the guys and I'll guarantee, see, football, right? This is what happened. Every year we go to Magaluf or Benidorm or something like that, right?
One of the classy places.
But you're football.
I know.
On the plate. So you start bevying on a Saturday, and I'll guarantee you I could put the timer on the Thursday, I'm ill. I'm sick.
Sounding worse than me.
Oh, mate, I'm thrown up, lying in the balcony because I need some air, and all the boys are going out for a night out. No, I'm finished. I'm on the plane with my head on the seat. Just going, please get me home. Get me home. But Donny sounds good for a couple of days.
Honestly. Listen, anyone at home, tell us your best stag or hen do location and why. If you can beat the £20 crisis buster,
nobody's beaten that.
I don't think so.
Nobody's beaten her. That's been never. How far is Donny then? Down, is it? About
so
three,
what? I mean,
four
it was.
Hours?
Yeah, it was. No, from Glasgow maybe, but for Edinburgh, it would be just under 3. Just under 3 from Edinburgh.
That's worth a weekend, don't
you? Oh, I'm telling you. Because you could go down on a Friday and do the crisis bus to Friday, then Saturday.
Yeah, I think we should get a couple of people, get a minibus.
Super Scoreboard Night Out.
Donny.
Listen, enough of me telling stories. You tell some stories. How is the Super Scoreboard on air on Wednesday night?
Oh, fantastic. I'm doing great. Absolutely great. Big Marv turned up like you. Like a fucking bus couch, right? He'd been on holiday for 7 days. And Big Marv's an athlete, you know that. But
like me as well.
Yeah, he'd been on the booze. Yeah. And you could tell he was on the booze because all he'd done was laugh. Shuggy battered the red wine. And we went out on the stage and it was absolutely... I would say, I've told everybody, I do a lot of things like that. I've done, you know, gigs like that before.
Yeah, big deal in the city, we know.
Yeah, and I've done the Super Scoreboard years ago when we used to do Uncut, it was called at that time. But I've got to say, that was the best gig that I've done.
Really?
It was brilliant, mate.
How did it compare to expectations? Because obviously it's the first one we've done in years.
I thought the audience, the way the gig started and then you hear the audience laughing and then you go, you can just judge it. They're there to enjoy themselves. So just go and see if you can entertain them, right? And I thought the audience was absolutely brilliant. I thought that's what made it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was a great... I'm sad that you had missed it because you could tell that story you told in Germany, remember?
Aye, right. You know, someone texted me the other day.
Tell
someone,
a story.
Come on, Gab, people want to know.
Oh, there's not a chance. By the way, I'll tell a lot of stories on there, that one, won't
I'll tell you what, that's the best story. I always say it's the best story I've ever
Mate,
had.
Mate, someone texted me the other day and saying, my uncle has just been out with a bunch of guys and Gordon DL was there or something. Someone's uncle was with you. And he said a guy was... Gordon DL was telling me a story about a guy telling him a story and he swears his name was Gabs and he had everyone in stitches in Germany. And I said, you've been telling people about that story that I've been telling you.
Mate, it's dynamite. Oh. Do you know something? I get back to that and people say, what was your highlight in Germany that night at that table?
Oh, it was so good, wasn't
it? Mate,
you, Mark Wilson. Oh.
Oh, it was the best I've ever heard. I would love you to tell that. You know why I tell it?
Oh, no, maybe I'll tell it next year if I'm on Super Scoreboard off air. Maybe I'll tell it, all right?
You're never getting back on this podcast now.
I know.
Come on, give us a snippet, come on.
No, I'll tell you the story I could tell you. What about the bus to London I had to get the other day?
Mate. That was incredible.
Remind the listeners what the deal was between us.
Well, the deal was quite simple. You and I had a wee bet. You're a big Arsenal fan.
Correct.
Obviously, I'm a Manchester City legend. we had a bet that whoever won the league, the loser had to take the winner out, free drink and a free meal.
Was it 20 quid? Crisis Buster.
Okay, I would have taken you Doncaster, mate. Oh, right in there. Oh. So anyway, at Hampden, we were sitting and you were ready to go for a night out and then you were going for a bus at Buchanan Station.
Oh, yeah.
Right, 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you were travelling down to London on a bus and you were going to the Arsenal parade to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought, with your history of your arse, right, this is not going to end well for you.
Yeah.
So I says to you, open up your laptop, get onto the flights,
mm-hmm.
and there was a flight there for 187.
187, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I says to you, book the flight. You're on me because I owe you that money. I owe you, obviously, a drink and a meal. I thought, get on me. There you go. I offered you my card. Is this true?
It's all true. Is it half-time of the Scottish Cup final?
I offered you my card. I says, take it off my card. There's everything. Book your flight. That's you done. No, no, it's going to be an adventure.
Yeah.
Fucking this early.
Oh, mate. I said it'll be character building. Mate, I turned up. In my head, I'd been thinking, who's getting a bus from midnight on a Saturday night at Buchanan Street? Because I've never done it before.
You thought it'd be empty, didn't you?
I thought it'd be empty. Turned up, it was heaving, mobbed, absolutely mobbed, right? I've got there at 11:40, absolutely mobbed, filled with, you know, kids, young people, clearly been out all day, straight around thinking what's been on. They've been the Fly Festival, like basically music, DJs, been on in Glasgow that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was absolutely jumping with buses going back to Dundee, Aberdeen, Perth, the borders, Edinburgh, everything. I turned up and I was thinking, holy fuck, this is my worst nightmare. Walked in, and you know me as well, I'm usually, so I've got 20 minutes, I'm like, I'll go and sit in the toilet for 10 minutes to settle my stomach before the walk in, inside shut, because it's too busy and it's late. Inside shut, mate. This is the guy working there. What do you mean you're inside shut? Inside shut, you just got to sit outside. So I'm thinking, fucking hell. So I've had
to get arrested here.
I know. Not even left Glasgow. So I go run to one of the hotels around the corner, snuck in, boom, had a little sit down, calm myself, go back in, right, okay? Where's the bus? Bus is meant to be starting in Glasgow. It's not arriving from Aberdeen or Edinburgh. Bus is starting in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Not there. Get an email, 10 past 12. Your bus is delayed by an hour and 15 minutes.
So what did you do?
Sat there like that.
For an hour and 15 minutes?
An hour and 15 minutes. And you're at that bit, you know Buchanan bus station.
You're sitting outside?
Yeah, you're just sitting outside.
Oh, for
it was fucking freezing. It's fucking freezing. And there was boys on my bus who'd been at the Fly Festival, clearly. They were wearing Gunners tops and they were absolutely flying, like sunglasses on, walking up to everybody like, boys! And I was thinking, I should have taken that cunt's money at half-time. Bus, mate.
The highlight of my life was... Gordon Duncan texts me, you know Gordon, he loves it as well.
Yeah.
Gordon texts me and he went, text Gabs and ask him where he is. And I'm going, there must be something going on here. So I text you and it must be, you were supposed to be in London at 9 o'clock.
Nine on the dot, yeah.
Not on the dot. I text you 20 past 10, 25 past 10. you weren't even in London.
No, right? Still an hour away. Still on there, right? You said how was the bus, mate? So still fucking on it.
And tell them what was the degree.
It was 32 degrees in London. It'd been freezing in Glasgow. It was wrapped up like this. Turn up in London. The bus was packed, you know, not a spare seat next year. It was absolutely roasting. It was terrible. I will not be doing it again. That's a lesson in life. If Gordon DL ever offers to pay for something for you, you take it.
Oh, 100%.
Oh.
That's a lesson for him.
That's a lesson, but listen, it was a great day and it was certainly character building. Like, let's get on to some of your correspondence at home. On your sunburn last week, of course, that was following that warm week down in London. It was warm up here too. Andy Sawyer says, Gordon looks like he's been duking chips out the fryer.
To be fair, I'm going to agree with him.
Darren adds, Freddy Krueger's stunt double. That's not a bad one. Drone Tales Scotland. Gordon Slaney's double with that nose. Does your nose always get burnt?
Listen, I need to tell you, right? Just quickly, I know we're going on to football. We're doing the show Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick up my granddaughter at 3 o'clock and then I'm going to be heading in later on. 1:30, I decide, right, I'll go and get my shower, get everything done, get shaved and everything, look tidy. Go and get Olivia and that'll be me. Brilliant, good day. I'm looking forward to tonight. Gabs, the side of my nose had a scab, right? I hope nobody's eating when they're near me. And I was washing my face, and the next minute, there was just, blood pouring out the side of my nose, right? And I mean blood.
Properly.
Right, so this is 1:30. I've now got everything on it, cold towel, everything. I'm lying in my top of my bed, my head up. Every time I got up, bang, right? I thought to myself, what is going on here? I'd phone my daughter and go, I can't pick up Olivia. I can't get this to stop. She come up with Vaseline, everything, right? And I'm still lying in bed. 5 o'clock. I'm ready to leave at 5:40 to get in. 5 o'clock, I'm thinking, I can't go here. I can't. Even putting a plaster on it, right? Yeah. It was going to look ridiculous. Plaster on it. The blood was still coming out. And I'm going, I've not got that much fucking blood.
Yeah.
Right? No, this is from 1:30. And I'm now 5 o'clock and I'm panicking. So what I done was I put a big dab of Vaseline on it. I put a plaster in a big... And I, to be lucky, everything stuck. And I just to about 6 o'clock, I'm in the car going to the gig and I'm thinking, if this starts bleeding, I'm out. I can't do it. We get to the car, so I take off thing me, rub in the Vaseline, and I think, right, stopped. And I got to the gig, and I'm sitting with Stephen Mill, right? And Stephen Mill's sitting to the right, and I'm doing my stuff thinking I'm Billy Big Boss. And Stephen went like that, and he pointed to my nose. Well, I thought it was my nose.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, I've done one of yours, I nearly shit myself.
Did you?
Oh, mate, I thought to myself, I need to run off a stage. And by pure luck, it wasn't, he was talking about the mic because we had the... But it was a nightmare. So my sunburn, and see, for people, right, I want to clarify something. I read a couple of these things about that's no sunburn. 1,000,000% on my life, I burnt all my head and I burnt my nose. And I do it every year. If I don't put sun cream on,
uh-huh,
I'm telling you, it happens every year. I can show you photos.
That's bad. You're old enough to know to wear sun cream.
I fell asleep. That's the problem. I was sitting in my daughter's back door on the recliner, and it was lovely. I put it back, and next minute I just, boom, out lit a light.
His granddad falling asleep again. They
fucked off and left me.
Oh, right. More on stealing takeaways. I was loving that chat last week. You and your pal going in and just claiming the cheese, pizza and chips.
That's good, isn't it?
All right. Stephen Waters confesses, same kind of thing happened to me. Went down to my local Indian just for a chicken pakora, sat down and it started getting busy. 5 to 10 minutes later, guy shouted, chicken something. Couldn't understand what he said at the end. And I said, "Aye, that's mine, pal." As I'm walking to my car, I'm saying to myself, that bag feels heavier than usual. Open it up, breast of chicken curry with pilau rice. Should have went back in and told them, but I was Hank Marvin, so stayed away for there for a couple of weeks.
That's all right.
It's fair game.
Right, right.
He ordered something, so.
Here's my one this week, and I want to ask the guys,
mm-hmm,
what they would do, right? I goes into the Radisson. I'm staying at the Radisson on Thursday night because I'm out.
Which one? Blue or red or? Where?
The one at Central Station. Okay. What colour is that? Blue.
I think so.
Right. Beautiful food, by the way. I'm at the boxing. I'm guest on at the boxing. So I goes in and get my room. I thought, I'll get into the bar because I want to make a couple of calls. So I went, give us a pint of pint of lager. So I was bursting for the toilet, mate.
It's the theme of this podcast.
Right. So I says, I'll be 2 minutes. So I runs around into the toilet and I walks back. So I get to my beer, right? Now this is the real point. I gets to my beer. There's nobody there, mate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all round the other side. And I'm standing. I thought, what's fucking happening here? So I went, so I took my beer, walked over and I sat down. Right, drank my beer, made a few phone calls, and went to my room. And nobody challenged me.
Really?
So I feel like I did feel like I was stealing. Right, I stole a beer. Right, so M'd out there. Would you do the same? Would you do the same, mate?
Yes.
Yeah. I stood for a few minutes and I'm standing there willing to pay. I'm not, right, not bothered.
Wait, so they poured you a pint or had you grabbed the pint?
No, they poured my pint and left it where I was standing. As the guy was pouring, I says, listen, mate, I'll be 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I need to run around the toilet, come back. He poured the pint, he put it there and pissed off. Right.
Mate, that's fair game. If he poured you the pint, it's different. Do you remember in our world-class hotel in Munich for the Euros? That night, it just had a fridge and you had to go and, like, grab your own beer and then be like, oh, it's me, grabbed a beer, make sure you had that. Like, if you go and grab your own beer and then don't tell them, that's dodgy. I would still maybe do it.
Right.
If I was, you know.
but I'm okay?
That's fine. Nobody. He's poured you the beer and he wasn't there.
Yeah, and I stood and I waited to pay him. Wasn't there. I thought, oh, fuck that. No. And my phone rang. And I thanked me, so I took my beer. And by the way, didn't sneak round the corner, went right across from where the bar was, sat down. I'm thinking, right, he's got to come out and say 5.50 or whatever for a beer, right?
Yeah.
No problem. I mean, it was nearly like a high. And I was sitting there for about half an hour, drank my beer, talking to people, and I got up and I went, right, I need to go up to the room and get myself organised, get changed. And I walked by, and as I was walking by, I went, oh, I'm not paying for that beer, right? So I'm now in a situation, I'm by the bar, and I can see the lift. And I'm thinking, do I go that way or do I go straight on? Right?
Aye.
And I thought to myself, oh, fuck it, straight on.
Keep walking.
Keep walking.
Don't turn around, keep walking. Right, let's get on to some football finally. Since the last podcast, the big thing was, of course, Scotland's final World Cup warm-up match. 4-0 convincing win against Bolivia on Saturday, just a few days ago. Of course, I watched that in Doncaster during the crisis buster, so I don't have the fondest memories of it. I had to go back and watch the game.
Do you know who won?
Do you know how long I had to argue to get that Scotland game on because England were playing at the same time?
Oh,
so we eventually got it on in one corner. 4-0 win, Shanklin with a great header early on, wasn't it? And then you had McTominay, as ever, stepping up for Scotland, and two for Shea Adams, which you must like as a striker, seeing a striker get goals.
Yeah, look, it's very hard to judge because they're not in the World Cup. They've had a long season. It's warm. I'm not taking any away from Scotland. I thought Scotland played some great stuff. I really did. I thought they scored some good goals. I thought it was a good confidence booster getting into the first game. You know, you want to do that.
Well, that's back-to-back games, scored four goals.
Yeah, and he had a clean sheet. He was talking about that. I liked the look of the team. I really did.
What, in terms of personnel or formation?
Everything. I like the two up top. I've said from day one in this podcast, if you're going to play Shanklin, play a striker with him. He's not a lone striker.
Look at the way it works for Hearts.
Yeah, he's a striker that likes people to play alongside him, right? And he's brilliant. His first goal, Adams, who's just come off, he scored against Juventus, didn't he, in his last game. So he's on fire, gets two goals. Shanklin's scoring as well. For me, they two are a certainty to start the first game.
So yeah, we just have to take, you know what a World Cup's like and how much talking, how much change there is between the two games. All we can look at right now is Haiti on Saturday night. So just looking at that, how different is this team from that team? For those listening or watching at home, gun in goal, back four of Hickey, Hanley, Henry, Robertson, Gannon, Doken, Christie out wide with Ferguson and McTominay in the middle, the top two of Shanklin Adams. I'm looking at that and thinking that looks like
you can't leave
eight or nine boys. McGinn.
Yeah. Can't leave him out.
McGinn's definitely in.
Right. So who you got to leave out?
One of Christie and Ferguson. I think I'll probably leave Christie out. Because if he goes McGinn for Ferguson, your midfield two and McTominay and McGinn, that's attacking, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's good, but that's not very Clark like.
Well, he's got to stick with Gannon Doak. He was excellent, wasn't he?
He'll have to play. Yeah. He brings pace. There's no one else got pace.
And
he bring,
and I think the two strikers, we're all talking about the first game's so important to score a few goals. It's not going to be easy. Let's not be kidded here. I think everybody thinks we've got to go out there and run all over the top of this team. It's not going to be easy, mate. I like the look of the team. Back to Henry and Hanley.
The one there, I think he might play McKenna.
And drop
Hanley.
Not a chance.
No?
Not a chance.
Well, you think you drop Henry over him? McKenna's left footed. He likes McKenna.
Nah, but he likes Hanley. He loves him. I think Hanley's a certainty.
Does it come into it where Hanley probably can't play all three games? You know, at Hibs, he didn't train every day. He's an older player. Is Hanley not more important if you're playing a back five and he's standing on his 18-yard line heading the ball away against Brazil?
Yeah. Well, do you think he'll play a back five against Brazil? That's what you got to look at. I think the first game's so important for them.
So you think he plays Hanley?
I think he plays that back four.
Yeah.
I think the big question mark is.
So you just think it's McGinn in, who goes out for McGinn? That's it.
No, I think there's another big question.
Huh?
Goalkeeper.
Do you?
Yeah. Massive. Who does he play? I know Craig Gordon's not played a lot of games, but Craig Gordon to me is the best goalkeeper in the squad.
You playing Gordon over Gunn then?
I'm playing Craig Gordon over Gunn all day long.
Wow.
If he's up 100%, I would play Craig Gordon all day. I think you've got to play your best players. I know the argument is he's been injured, he's not played, but we've seen that before, remember? Because everybody was going, what was the game he played? Everybody hadn't played for about 3 or 4 months, and then he goes in and he plays for Scotland.
Yeah, it was really good.
And he's excellent, mate.
Yeah.
He's excellent. So me personally, that's a big decision for him. The goalkeeper and who he drops for again. And I think he plays the rest of them.
Yeah.
I think that's
so
his
you
team.
Think 9 out of 11.
Yeah. I think the front three are a certainty.
And I tell you something else. I love watching 4-4-2 football. It's the easiest to defend, I always think.
It's easiest to play.
It's so, and two strikers make such a difference. And I know you think, oh, whatever, modernity, 4-3-3, all of this works. If you have two goal scorers on the pitch,
yeah,
you have more chances of scoring goals when the balls are in the box.
I like a 4-4-2 with... I used to play it when I was at Ayr, and what I had was a little bit like Scotland, right? So you had your four defenders, you had your four midfield players, but one of them was a Gannon Doak. I had Teal,
right,
who went on to play with Scotland, Gary Teal. He was my right winger. I had two good midfield players that knew how to play, you know, strong, knew how to pass the ball. The less hand side guy wasn't a winger. He was a comfortable, a midfield player that liked to play in to out, if you know what I mean. Wee bit like what McGinn is. Mm. Wee bit like what Christie is.
Yeah. Not out and out wingers, but also not necessarily a central midfielder.
Yeah,
comfortable.
In to out, it's called. And I like that. It's a good balance because your pace comes from your right hand side. So you say to your right hand winger, get yourself up there, go and express yourself. And that's what they do. I like that. I like the shape of it.
Yeah.
I think you'll need to look at different shapes, obviously Morocco and Brazil, but I think your first game, I think the front three for me, they're stick-ons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing is the goalkeeper and Christie, who's got to play.
Yeah, be really, really interesting to see. And it's World Cup week. The World Cup starts on Thursday. Scotland play on Saturday.
So, seeing you're a kid, how good was the World Cup? How many games would you just...
Mate, what's your World Cup, when you're talking about that, you think you're a kid, what's your favourite World Cup, being a wee guy?
World Cup? Was it Brazil? No, I'm trying to think.
Brazil won in 1970. That was hosted in Mexico.
Was it 74 then, Brazil?
74,
the players.
74 was won by Jorginho, West Germany.
Dutch
in the final.
Yeah, Germany. Gert Müller was my favourite. Gert Müller.
Is that who you modelled your game on?
Mate,
the bomber.
Gert Müller was sensational. You know, you look at Holland, you look at Cruyff, you look at the players, you look at Beckenbauer, played with... They had, honestly, the players, you used to sit Brazil, Jorginho, Zico, and oh my god.
See what you can do, the 1974 World Cup final, that's the stadium that you've abseiled across.
Is so, it?
Yeah, because it was hosted in Munich in the Olympiastadion.
Was that the stadium?
Yeah, so you've abseiled across the 74 World Cup
and
final.
And who won that? Germany?
West Germany won 2-1 against the Netherlands, yeah.
Yeah.
What you can do, if you watch the opening... You watch kickoff of that game.
Yeah.
Dutch are passing it about, doing their total football. Cruyff picks the ball up, halfway line. Shimmy's pass two, shimmy's pass three, sprints into the box, foul, penalty, goal. 90 seconds into the World Cup final. What a player.
With Cruyff?
Yeah. Just pick the ball up, ran past the whole team, foul, penalty, goal.
Well, he's famous for a Cruyff turn, isn't he?
Oh.
But some of the players, and you get back to, look at Argentina as well. Right, some of the players that had Argentina was magnificent. You get Argentina, you get Brazil, you get West Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get Netherlands, I called it Holland at that time. Cruyffs and all these people. Oh my God. And then when you're further on, it just get better and better because you went into Van Basten, you went into Hulick, you went into Maradona, and then you went into Messi and all that kind of... The World Cup is sensational, mate. I love the World Cup. I hope it's going to be exciting for everybody because I would watch every game, right? But I think the modern day game, football, bores you a little bit. I don't think it's as attacking. I hope it's different in the World Cup. I hope, like, you know, Scotland, I hope people play attacking football.
And go for it, yeah.
Go for it. Go and play, entertain.
Because, mate, we've been lucky, our generation, that we've now qualified for our third tournament out of the last four, but we haven't gone for it.
No.
We haven't gone for it in the previous two tournaments.
But I think, honestly...
You think he's learned from that?
Yeah, 100%. He's got goal scorers. He's got guys that score goals, and the good thing about it is, right, see if you're a goal scorer and you get into games and you're on form, it's brilliant. See, he's a centre-forward, your confidence is... Can't wait for the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give me an opportunity and I'll score. You have that in your head because you're so, so confident. It's different if you've no scored for about 10, 11 goals. You start getting panicking, you start panicking thinking, my God, that's eight games I've no scored. I need to score. And you forget about everything that's happening there.
Yeah.
And because you're anxious, you're trying to force it, right, I need to get in a box, need to get in a box, need to get in a box. But see, when you're in form and you're scoring and you're relaxed, then these two, they've got to play.
That's the beauty of the World Cup as well, is that it's only, you know, you might, it's only 5, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever it is. And out of nowhere, you can have a player who just scores 6 goals. James Rodriguez for Colombia, Diego Forlan for Uruguay. Even closer, he would turn up for Germany every year. I bring you back to two Italians that my dad used to talk about.
Oh, come on, up front.
Paolo Rossi.
Paolo Rossi was sensational.
His passwords to all of his things, all of his, no one should be, I shouldn't be telling this, but P. Rossi 20, everything. That was his hero. Paolo, he was 16, I think, in 82.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, big
Paolo Rossi hat trick against.
He's not getting any money in the bank.
Honestly, Paolo Rossi hat trick against Brazil.
Yeah, brilliant.
What's and the best team to never win the World Cup, that Brazil team. You're talking about Zico. So, right, tell me, who are you picking to be the top scorer at the World Cup as a former iconic striker yourself?
I've got a sneaky for Kane.
Kane, he was top scorer at 2018 as well.
Yeah, I've got a sneaky for him. I think he's just a natural goal scorer. Takes the penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think England will do okay in this competition.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they'll do okay.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just going to go for Kane. I think Kane could be the guy that was the top goal. I think he'll be there or thereabouts. There you go.
Okay, we want to know at home who you think is going to be the top scorer. There's no point telling us next week. The tournament starts on Thursday. So comment in the section below, tweet us on Instagram, anything. Let us know who is going to be the top scorer at the World Cup. And while you're at it, let us know who's going to win. One word. One word.
Scotland. it's hard, isn't it? I'm going to go for Spain.
Spain?
Yeah.
Won the Euros. Magic team. Before we stick with more World Cup stuff, let's quickly talk about Celtic. Martin O'Neill. Looks like he's going to become the manager because reports are he's agreed a 1-year deal.
Mate, I said it at the Scottish Cup final. I watched him. I just watched his body language. Mm-hmm. He was loving it, enjoyed it. See, when you get to that stage, I don't care what age you are, right? People say, oh, he's 74 years of age. He's just won the double, right? He's just been brilliant for Celtic in every way. Yeah, he's not the guy that's going to go in there and do all the coaching, but he's surrounded himself with good people that can do that. I said from day one that Martin O'Neill, at the start of next season, will be the Celtic manager. There's not a doubt about it. 1 year, fine. Let's see where we go there. Celtic are a big club that need a big change. Martin O'Neill's a strong leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good manager. He knows what he's all about. He can bring the fans together with the board. As I say, he won the double. So put it this way, if you and I were at Celtic and I was a manager and I won the double, I'm not getting sacked, am I? They're
no.
Desperate to keep me because I've just won 2 trophies out of the 3. So I think Martin O'Neill is a perfect fit going forward for Celtic this season because I think it's such a big, big change in Celtic. Transfer market's got to be good. They've got to get the board together. They've got to get the fans together. Everything has got to come. And he knows the club inside out and he's a very, very intelligent guy.
So do you think it's just another 1 year then, Daz?
Yeah, me personally, maybe Martin's just went, look, I'll take a year and see how we go. But there's a massive job to be done.
Yeah.
He might go next year and say, right, okay, done it. But see if they do well. See football. See if it's in your veins and you're doing well, right? And you're enjoying it. Okay, he's 74, as everybody says. But he doesn't need to do all the coaching. He doesn't need... He's got people... He's that good. He just recognises, right, that's your strength. That's your strength. That's what you're doing. Right, go and do it. Here's what I do,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's at that stage and he's good at it. So I think that is a very, very good move. I know Celtic fans might turn around and say, well, where's the future in that? I think Martin O'Neill's a safe pair of hands, right? You could put Martin O'Neill out and say, no, you're too old. We're going to start. We're rebuilding. We want a young manager in here that's got to take it forward. And like Wilfred Nancy could come in and fall on his arse. You know what you're getting with Martin O'Neill. The fans love him as well.
Yeah.
St. Martin, they call him. So I think it was a good move for both Celtic and Martin Ream.
Right, let's see when that gets announced. If it does get announced, it might be announced by the time you listen to this podcast. Of course, Scotland game went without incident. There's no domestic football. We thought we'd discuss the new rules instead of the usual VAR WTF, because there are new rules at this World Cup. So here is the summer special edition of VAR WTF.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
We love a rule change, yeah?
Oh, I love... Show this FIFA. My God.
Right, new referee and VAR rules for the 2026 World Cup. If you thought you didn't know, you weren't up to date with the latest rules, think again, because none of us are. Let's begin with the 5-second countdown for throw-ins and goal kicks.
That's never going to happen.
When does it start? When does the countdown begin?
Right, my thing's quite simple, right? I think the throw-ins is easy because it starts the minute you get the ball in your hand.
As soon as the player touches the ball in his hand.
As you've got the ball in his hand, like a goalkeeper, you get the ball in your hand safely, you've got 5 seconds. I like that rule.
Yep.
Right, I like it. I can't understand the goal kicks. When does that go?
Does that mean goal kick, like as in when the ball goes out of play and it's a dead ball goal kick? Yeah, it's not the goalie got it in his hand.
Right. Is it a case of goal kicks? He's got 5 seconds.
Once he places it?
He places the ball, he's got to get back and hit it within 5 seconds.
It can't be that he's got to go and run and get the ball and kick it within 5 seconds.
No, it'll never happen. Right. There's see, if you think about it, I quite like it because what it does is quickens the game up.
Yeah.
Right? You see people standing there, throw-ins and whatever. It's got to be hard for a referee. Is it? Does the VAR go into the referee's ear? That's 5 seconds. It must.
Yeah, or the fourth official, maybe.
Yeah, somebody must be. Right?
Yeah, let's see how strictly that gets implemented. Next, red cards for players covering their mouths during conversations. The famous, all of this. We see a lot of players do it so that the cameras don't see or the opposition don't see. You, of course, had the incident with Prestiani, Benfica against Real Madrid when Real Madrid forward Vinicius alleged that he made a racist comment towards him. He's admitted making a homophobic comment. That was this. So that's why that's been blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Red card for players covering their mouths during conversations.
I've always hated that situation.
Confrontation, sorry. It's not... If you're still talking to your teammate, that's okay. But if you speak to someone else...
A red card.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I don't like
that. You don't like that? It's a modern thing, isn't it?
I know, it's just... just come on. It's not that important, is it? You know, and you're standing there and your hand. Oh, I do agree that if you do that to an opposition player, yeah, I agree with that because you never know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Get them off the pitch. I agree with that. Stamp that out. Still allowing the handover. I don't like it. So, in the day they've addressed it and we'll see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. Punishments for teams walking off the pitch in protest. You assume that is aimed at what happened in the AFCON final. Remember when Senegal walked off against Morocco because a dodgy penalty? Sadio Mane, the captain, stayed on the pitch. Boy, misses the penalty. Senegal win in extra time. They've since been technically stripped, so Morocco were then crowned champion. A massive mess. So you think... That looks to address that.
What is the punishment? No, I'm not telling you.
I don't know.
Are they getting forfeit the match.
Forfeit the match.
Forfeit the match. Okay. I agree with that.
Yep, having that?
Yep, yeah, I agree with that. If you walk off the pitch, I know that obviously there's teams that it's happened before, but for a decision length like that, and you get your players to walk off, me personally, I'd put them out of the tournament.
Okay. Oh, out of the tournament, not just the match.
On you go, on the bus. Get out.
Fly home.
Yeah, fly home.
Mandatory 1-minute off-field treatment periods.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, right? So I foul you, right? And you're injured. You have to go off the pitch and stand there for 1 minute. So it gives an advantage to me that's just fouled you.
I'm assuming that is to stop boys going down to waste time. So they're getting punished if they're not actually injured, but...
Yeah, it says there could be exceptions with goalkeeper injuries, severe injuries or collisions. But yeah, I think it's mostly aimed at stopping time wasting.
Okay, so another one. There seems to be a few that are aimed at time wasting. But then how do you know if someone's being serious or not? How do you know if someone's lying, play acting?
I don't know. I think that's a hard one. I think they're going to get in trouble with that, as in... You know, I think that'll be one that'll be controversial, put it that way.
Okay. I think the next two are the most interesting and probably most important. VAR can step in if a foul is committed before the ball enters play at a set piece. Corners, grappling, ball's not in yet. Usually the ref blows his whistle. Stop it, you two, you're at it, stop it.
Uh-huh.
Look at this now.
And VAR can now intervene.
Before the ball enters play at a set piece. What do you think?
I like it.
So would that stop what you... Yeah. My team, the Gunners, unbelievable at set pieces, but they've changed it into a wrestling match.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of the rules. They were the rules. That's why they weren't given fouls against. But now this looks to stop that. You happy with that?
Yes, I am. Are you? Do you like it?
Yeah, because it's football. It's not rugby.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be grappling each other at corners.
Yeah. I think that'll make a big difference. I think you'll.
I also do.
Do you know something? I think you'll get more goals as well.
I also think, you know when we were talking about top scorer, mm-hmm. you say Kane. Boys that are going to take penalties will get a lot. If you're giving penalties for fouls before corners, mm-hmm. there'll be loads of penalties getting given.
Yeah.
And you might see it wiped out by the group stage. But at that point, Kane scored four. Spock. Who's taking a penalty for Scotland, by the way? I'm now just thinking it. Yeah, a penalty in that opening game, 10 minutes in. Shanklin? McTominay?
Oh, Shanklin all day for me.
Over McSauce? You think, really?
Oh, yeah. Shanklin, well, he takes them for Hearts. He's brilliant. He's a goal scorer. Me personally, I'd give it to Shanklin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we've got guys that will obviously step up and take the responsibility.
Christy hit one in the friendly the other day as
Scored, yeah. But me personally, Shanklin all day.
Okay, the final one. VAR can overturn wrongly awarded second yellow cards and corners.
Lot of rules. I think overturning the yellow card's a good one.
Because that's been kind of one of the little catches of VAR. Yeah. You get a wrong yellow, you get sent, but you can't look at it because it's not a straight red. I think people have long looked for that one. If you get sent off and it's a second yellow, you should be able to VAR.
And people will say, why can't they overturn the first yellow? Right, so we've got to be here all day with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with that because if you're wrongly booked, mm-hmm. and you get a yellow card and you're off the pitch. Me personally, I think football is all about trying to keep 11v11 on the pitch, mm-hmm. right?
Agree.
I like that. I like that rule. I think that's a good rule.
And then the second half of that, the corner kicks, are we going into it too much detail now? The ref gives a nick, it's a 50-50, who knows which way it's going?
Yeah, and then they overturn the decision. Yeah, well,
I mean, you could say that then, like, if there's a wrongly awarded corner kick, you can score a goal, you know. Yeah.
Listen, it's a trial, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'll be interesting to see how
it's interesting to see they trial these things at the biggest stage.
Yeah, the only thing I will say is if they're going to do it, they have to be on the ball, they have to be quick.
Yeah,
we can't be standing there going, hold on a minute, that's a couple of minutes, they're having a look. And they overturn a corner kick.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can't do it. That'll ruin the World Cup for me. I like the fact that they're trying to get everything quickly. I don't like the punishment. I don't like the players that go for a minute. You know what I mean? I don't know how they can judge that if I foul you and you're lying there injured and you're off for a minute. All of a sudden, I've got an advantage, 11v10 for a minute. Don't understand that. But I like a lot of the stuff that they're doing.
So, in general, you're happy with it?
Yeah, I would like as long as it goes quickly. I think everybody will agree.
Yeah,
go quickly. If it doesn't go quickly, and we're standing there, sitting there, watching the football, and it's stop, start, wait. I think this World Cup could be a disaster. But I quite like some of the rules.
Okay, let's see how they work. The World Cup starts on Thursday. When a World Cup starts, it means you have plenty of these Scotland World Cup songs. Oh. You heard any of these yet?
I had three or something last week.
Yeah?
Yeah, and they're shit.
You're going to love these ones.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like that's the general consensus, Daz. Because we've not been to a World Cup, Men's World Cup, since 1998, our generation have never had this. Mine and Jay's, yours obviously have. Mm. There's been some great ones through yesteryear, but we're not used to all this, so I feel like it's almost cringing, a lot of us.
You don't like the songs?
Well, I've not actually heard all of them, but listen, Jay, let's get going. We did this last week. We've got three more, though, for Daz to rate out of 10.
Come on, Em.
Can we have the first one, please, producer Jay?
No worries. So the first one, you may have heard this. This is a World Cup edition of Nathan Evans and St. Phoenix's song, Home.
Under the hand and lights, we were all dreamers. There was a wonder strike.
that give us that feeling. It's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Scott McTominay. We silence desire and tear me on fire, my claim from the halfway line. Cemented in history, rising from misery, Scotland, it's now our time. So don't forget where we're coming from, my friends.
Not bad.
Not bad.
The thing I hate is, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Stop my call me knee.
You don't like that?
Oh, fuck, who wrote that? But it's catchy, and I think...
The chorus is good.
Yeah, chorus is good, catchy. Out of 10, I'd probably go down about 7.
7?
What were you thinking?
I was going to go... 5.
Nah, I think what made it for them was the sort of a chorus. I think if you get a catchy
chorus,
wee number, and everybody can sing along to it, and it's good. Obviously Nathan Edmonds is a very talented boy. So 7. I'm going 7.
Okay.
Right.
Next one,
Daz. You may recognise this tune. This is a spin on a Scottish Highland classic, I believe. Bonnie Wee Gina McCall. This is Bonnie Wee Team by Callum McPhail.
A fine team, a bonnie wee team, we're off to chase the dream. Scotland to America, we're the finest team we've seen. We've got Haiti, Morocco, then down to play Brazil. Do you think we'll win the games? Oh, I think we will. Well, Tierney and Christie on the wing, the magic Billy Gilmour and the super drum again. We've got Scotland, Tominay and the fine wee Kenny McLean. Just punt it from the halfway line and we'll be on the way. My body we team, we're off to chase the dream. Scotland to America, we're the finest team we've seen. With your Haiti, Morocco, they're down to play Brazil. Do you think we'll win the games? Oh, I think we will.
Oh.
I'm loving it.
You like that
I'm
one?
I'm loving it.
Yeah?
I am loving
very
it.
Very Scottish.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think that's a wee catchy number. Obviously, I know the original song.
Mm-hmm.
I like the words, I like the tune, I liked everything about that. I'm going to give that an 8.
An 8?
Yeah, he's getting an 8. I love it.
Go on, Callum McPhail.
High praise. The Gilmore bit didn't age well, but
listen, he can't help that.
That's my main issue with these songs, right? A lot of them mention Canada and Mexico because they were clearly written the night we qualified against Denmark and we didn't know where we'd be playing.
Yeah.
And now we're just playing them in Boston and Miami. But, oh well, now, okay, that's a great rating. 8, was it 9 you gave, sorry?
Not 8.
8.
8, yeah, high praise. Let's see if this can beat it. This is the best.
This is the best.
I think you'll like this one, Gabs. This is Go Scotland Go by Just the Brave. Boy band number that does, what do you think?
He needs to see the video.
Yeah.
Mate, that's shit.
That's terrible.
It is fucking terrible. That is shit. It's like, they're having a baby and they just made that up.
Go Scotland, go. I'll
tell you what, I've got a great shout for a song. Go Scotland, go, join in. Go Scotland, go. Come on to fuck, join in. Oh, go.
That's clearly as the fan. Gabs, overall, what's your thoughts on all of
my girlfriend's obsessed with that song.
Seriously?
Yeah.
She wants to go, Gabs, go.
She's not even Scottish, and she is...
She likes that song?
Because she's on TikTok, and this is like a TikTok, the video. Yeah. Mate, right. I'll show you the video.
Right, okay.
It's like 15-year-old lads in kilts dancing up at Edinburgh Castle singing it.
Oh,
fair play to them. Well done, boys.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, well done, E, but you're getting a 4.
I'm giving it a 2.
No, the next one, obviously. Gabs.
Come on.
Oh, I'm harsh. Oh, I'm like, who's the horrible guy on Strictly? that gives them really low scores.
I can't remember.
That's me. Craig,
that's me.
I mean, judging by your accent, you probably prefer this one.
That's a tune, mate. Because we all like Vindaloo. You know, actually, when we were on the train down to York for the stag do on Friday, when we crossed the border, we're all singing Vindaloo.
Oh, are you?
It is one of those ones where as soon as England are out, you can't admit it as a
good show. Oh, belter, mate, belter.
Listen, I've got to say, you've got to give credit to guys that go and make up songs for the World Cup. It's what it's all about.
And your winner's Bonnie Wee Team, this week's winner.
I love that.
Bonnie Wee Team, brilliant.
Callum will be delighted.
Right.
Callum McPhail, that's his name.
Callum McPhail, if you're watching, congratulations. Yeah, You've won this week's
love it.
Best
love it,
Scotland
Callum.
Song. Maybe Daz will be singing it on Saturday night when we beat Haiti.
I'll be in the... Where are we going Saturday?
Jay. Merchant City.
All will be revealed in time. Stay tuned to Super Scoreboard.
Right, I didn't just say that. Anyway, let's get on the more serious stuff. It's Who Dares Wins. I'm so bad at this every time, honestly. I am cruising this. Right, we go up against each other to try and guess how many answers we can get right on a certain topic by bidding. Whoever bids the highest gets to go first. If they get it, they win. If they don't, the other player wins. You're 21-17 up. And keep in mind, this is probably the season's going to end soon, so...
I've won that.
But I get to bid first.
Right, okay.
Thank fuck! What's the category, Jay?
So today, it couldn't be anything else. We are, of course, staying with Scotland. It's a bit more of a recent number.
I was hoping it was going to be World Cup there.
Yeah, it's Scotland World Cup, but it's mostly... We'll come to the World Cup stuff in the quiz later, but this is all about the Scotland squad, in particular, the Scotland squad under Steve Clarke. So, the question is, 15 Scotland players have been capped 30 times or more by Steve Clarke. How many can you name? And Gabs, you're first to bid.
8.
Can you name 8?
Aye. That's a good one for me. I'm confident on this.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. Hold on. I'm trying to think of all the players. 30 caps?
Yes, at least 30 caps. 15 of them.
Come on, hurry up.
I'm going
You've got
to
a
go.
Chiropractor to get to.
I'm going to go name them.
Name them?
Yeah.
You want to let him just go away?
Yeah, come on, give me it. I need this.
Go.
How many do I need? 8.
You shit yourself, you're not getting it.
You need the toilet.
Right,
toilet break.
8 Scotland players under Steve Clarke with at least.
I probably could have
caps.
Went 9.
Yes, you could have, but it's Gabs. On you
okay.
go.
Scott McTominay.
Of course, Scott McTominay.
John McGinn.
Number one, 72 caps under Steve Clarke.
Andy Robertson.
Number two, 65.
That's easy, 3.
Ryan Christie.
You're doing these in order, he's number 4.
Oh.
63 caps as well.
Billy Gilmore. You fucker, that was
46 caps, he's 9 for the list.
How many have I got?
You've got 5. Risa Gett.
Kenny McLean.
Yeah.
Kenny McLean. I mean, of course, he's
Steve Clarke. He loves Kenny McLean.
Yeah, he shares a room with Kenny.
51 caps under Steve Clarke. 2 to get.
Katie.
Yeah.
Surely.
44 caps.
Thought that might be tight. He's been injured a bit. How many have I got?
7. 1 more to get.
Oh. 9 would have been easy.
You could have got 9 easily.
I made an arse of that. I want you to get a point.
Dykes.
Lyndon Dykes. 51 caps.
Did you say Andy Robertson?
Yes.
Hanley must be one.
Grant Hanley?
Yeah, must be one.
Yeah, let's see if we can get them all.
Not as high as I thought.
How many?
39. It means he is on the list.
Thank you.
Adams. Yeah. Let's try and rattle through these.
Adams has 47.
So how many have we got in total there, Jay? 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes.
Yeah, we're on 10.
What about Henry?
Yeah, I think Henry would have.
He's a squishing. He's got done us a team. Jack Henry, 14 for 35.
Scotty McKenna.
Well done. 40 caps. Actually, one more cap than Grant Hanley under Steve Clarke.
Look at the goalkeeper. Right, three to go. The goalkeeper's changed.
I know. I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. Right back. and goalkeepers. Right backs don't play a lot. Yeah, so that's why I'm not going for either of the. What are the what do you think, Lewis Ferguson?
I don't think Lewis Ferguson.
He's got enough.
Nah, I don't. I don't. I really don't. Who else is there? Many to go, Jay?
Three.
Right, I'm going Gunn. I think Gunn's had there.
Gunn?
You don't think so, the goalkeeper?
Yeah, nope. No, I'm not.
Angus Gunn, only 22 caps under Steve Clarke.
I'll have Lewis Ferguson. Fuck off.
I didn't
think 24.
Fuck. Give us clues, positions, please.
There is a goalkeeper on there.
No, Craig Gordon, he's not played 30.
Marshall.
One of you's right.
Marshall.
Craig Gordon, 30.
Craig Gordon,
David
yeah.
Marshall, only
you
20.
Said Gunn.
Yeah,
only 20 for David Marshall under Steve Clarke.
Right, two to get or one to get?
Two.
Two.
Positions?
Is it two? Well, one, fifth place on the list, midfielder with 52 caps.
Oh, Callum McGregor. Yes. Forgot about him.
Yes, and
one
other.
Didn't he?
Yes, Callum McGregor. And one other with 40 caps. His former mate, played with him at club level.
No Scotland.
Playing in Scotland last season. Came back up. Returned to Scotland last season.
He played with Callum McGregor.
Yes.
Stuart Armstrong.
40 caps.
Wouldn't have got that.
Should have got
McGregor.
He's
one of my favourite players.
Armstrong, Gordon. I reckon I could have got 12 there, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I've won that with 21-18. There's a chance you could be caught before the start of the new season.
Yeah, any chance.
Question time next, I think. Yeah, right. I like this section. Aaron or Aaron asks, if Daz was a pub landlord with four different draft taps at the bar, what would be his lineup? Now, that is an all-time question. Thank you very much for that. That's one of the questions you have with your mates when you're on holiday and you're in the pool.
Guinness.
Four different draft taps. Guinness one, that's got to be in there.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. What else?
Tenants.
Got to be in there. Another no-brainer.
Everybody loves a tenant.
You got two left.
Right.
Can I have anything? Right. Can I have anything?
Anything?
Yeah. You see what some draft have. You get pre-made cocktails these days on draft.
Yeah, I like the fact of cocktails.
What pre-made cocktail would you have then as one of them?
I'm a pina colada.
Pina colada. That's him then. Pina colada. I love that.
That saves any shit, doesn't it? Pina colada.
Go on, one more. What, do you have another lager? Do you have a stout? Do you have a cider?
No, I think you would need to go. I would go cider. I think people seen the summer. People love to sit outside, and our cider's brilliant.
So what are you going down the middle? Normal cider, like a just like a strong bowl, or would you have like a you get dark cider, like a red one?
No, I would just have a normal cider because I think these fancy beers are shit.
You're not a fancy beer?
No, I don't.
So when you just walk into a pub, you usually just say lager, don't you?
No, I'd have a Guinness. I'm more of a Guinness. I don't like pints. I'm not a pint man, but because you get into a pub, you can't really get a nice. I like red wine, or I like a nice.
What about a tap of red wine?
Brilliant. That's it. Fucking get cocktails.
Merlot.
Brilliant. Forget that. A tap, right?
Yeah.
And it's got two wee things coming out, so you can go red or
red
white.
Red or white. Cheating the system. It splits.
So aye. You go what you want, red, and you just booked it to that. Yeah. Boom.
Or that
the
way.
Red comes off white. Yeah.
Right, so we're having a wine tap, and are you taking out pina colada?
Get pina out.
And we're having a cider. Which cider, please?
I will go a wee, what's the best cider? Strongbow's
the most standard cider probably up here.
Yeah.
You get a lot of fruity ciders now.
No, we're not doing fruity ciders.
What about like
it's a fucking real pub. You
what
know
about
what
like
I mean?
An Aspall cider? Aspall, one of the fancy ones for England.
No, stick to. It's a pub.
Right,
you're
well,
coming
it's Strongbow
in,
then. It's a Strongbow.
Yeah,
cider.
Even everybody likes a Strongbow or a nice cider. See, you walk in and you get fruity stuff there. That's not a pub.
Right.
The landlord will not serve you a fruity cider. You will not be getting it. You're not getting.
Okay.
Right. And here's what I'm going to do. I tried to get the cocktails on there.
Yeah.
No fucking cocktails.
They've gone.
They're a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Come in. Give me your 20 quid. And at 8 o'clock, what's it called?
Crisis Buster.
8 o'clock, boys. On the taps. Boom.
Strongbow, Guinness, Tennent's, and wine with two little taps, red or white. Right, I love it. There we go. Thank you very much. If you want to ask Daz a question, send it in, and you'll be on Question Time next week. Now, before we go, we have quick time for the Big Scottish Football Shootout Quiz, which I am fancying today.
You're usually good at it.
The score is 22-20 to Daz after we won last week on that tiebreaker. I've won two of three, though.
You're doing well.
Including the last two.
Yeah.
And here is our host, Producer Jay.
So, as I said, this World Cup quiz is upon us.
If it is World Cup, I'll destroy you.
It's a mixture of Scotland and general World Cup.
Come on. General get knowledge. Away from the World Cup. He's good at the World Cup.
It's the World Cup preview show, though. Come on.
For fuck's sake, man.
Right, what have we got?
So... yeah, this is your first time joining us. Shootout quiz, five questions. The guys have an option of a top bin, which is worth double if they think they can overtake. So, let's get to question one. Now, listen out for this one, because I'm going to play you a bit of audio.
Oof.
We were discussing World Cup songs earlier. Who sang this famous World Cup song?
These are me, we're all Argentine,
and we'll really shake them up when we win the World Cup, cause Scotland are the greatest football team.
Oh, time starts now.
Got it, mate.
No, mate.
See, I knew you would need the timer for us. I knew Daz would get this straight away. You said you'd struggle World Cup.
That's a Scotland and a general. Right, okay.
Obviously, you're a Vindaloo man.
Where are you going?
I've just got the 78 squad.
The 78 squad, oh, Daz?
Andy Cameron?
Oh, yeah, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
That's so easy as well. That's pathetic. Oh, I'll just give you a head start,
Andy,
all right?
Andy Cameron performed on Top of the Pops, I believe, in 1978.
Can we have some generic ones, please?
Ali Sarton.
We run the march. That's
Wait,
a good one.
Why do we
one.
Not have wipes in here?
I know, right, doesn't matter. Right, go just right at the top and then work your way.
Yeah, that's fine. No, my apologies, I forgot the way. Right. Come on. Anyway, question two. Scotland 2, England 2, where Lee Griffiths scored two free kicks, was a qualifier for which year's World Cup? And your time starts now.
For the World Cup?
Yes, which year? Scotland 2, England 2, Lee Griffiths.
Hurry up.
Double free kick. What year's World Hurry Cup up. Was that a qualifier for?
I can't remember.
Come on.
I went 2018.
Oh, he's got it right.
And Gabs, well, the games are both right. It's 2018.
June 2017, that match was.
Go!
That's a crisis buster coming at me. Right. Come on, next one, Jay.
2-1 to Daz. Question three. It's one of Daz's favourites. It's a picture round.
Oh, fuck.
But it's the return of Say What You Don't See.
Say What You Don't See?
Yeah, so normally we put a picture up, John's like, say what you see there, guys. Up. This one, there will be something missing from the picture. And you need to tell me what's missing. If you're listening, come onto YouTube so you can see this and you can put it for yourself. Once the guys put their answer down, they'll describe it, and you can also play along if listening as well. So I will put the picture on the screen and you need to tell me what or who is missing from the picture. I'm going to put the picture up and you will have 30 seconds to answer. Who is missing from this picture? It's an iconic World Cup image.
2010 final, Daz.
What do you mean, who's missing?
Who's he karate kicking?
Was it a final?
Yeah.
Who did they play in?
Not telling you they played. But they didn't win. The Dutch didn't win.
Right.
Go on.
Right, so...
yeah. You had the team there.
Yeah, Spain.
Yeah.
The wee guy in the middle.
Which one? They're all wee guys in the middle in Spain's team.
The wee guy, what do you call
him? Just write it down.
I can't remember his fucking name now.
Which wee guy?
The two wee...
Xavi and Iniesta?
Yeah.
Write down one of them then.
I'm going, right, Xavi.
You're going for Xavi? Gabs, what are you going for?
Xavi Alonso, unfortunately.
Gabs is Xabi Alonso.
How do you know that, Gabs?
I told you, World Cup, that's my thing.
Yes, and Gabs is right. Let's it's Xabi Alonso being kung fu kicked by Nigel de Jong of Holland in the 2010 World Cup final.
Referee, you know, Howard Webb didn't send him off.
Yeah, he was only booked for that, would you believe?
Jay?
Yes, Gabs. Yes, Gabs.
Fuck off, seriously, mate.
Jay, give us some more World Cup questions.
Don't. Give us some
World Cup question, anyway.
Give us a Motherwell question.
Here we are. That's an equaliser for Gabs.
2-2.
So,
Desmond.
We go to question 4. Who was the last man to score for Scotland at a World Cup whilst playing club football for Rangers?
Oh, that is a hard question.
Scoring a World Cup while
last
playing
man to score in a World Cup whilst playing for Rangers.
When was your last time?
98. Did 98. Anyone in 98 score play?
Who was playing for Rangers in 98?
And I was thinking this boy played for, called Euro 92 maybe. Right, I've just written.
Well done.
Come on, you. You're running out of time.
I can't remember his name.
Just right. What is it, Xavi again? Iniesta?
No, I just go McCoist. I've no idea.
I went McCoist as well.
Yeah. Go McCoist.
Went McCoist. And you're both wrong.
I think McCoist not scored the Euro.
Euros against Switzerland. I was there. What's the goal it was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Aston Villa. If I'd got that question, I'm in.
The answer is Morris Johnson.
Oh,
Sweden in Italia 90. Stuart McCall got the other goal, but he was playing for Everton at the time. So Morris Johnson was the last Rangers player to score for Scotland at a World Cup, which means we are still level going into the final question.
I'm not going tiebreaker with you because I know that you'll know the tiebreaker. Is the tiebreaker about World Cup?
Yes.
Fuck it, no, just a question.
Right, you go top corner then. Is that how it works? No, you go top bin.
Yeah, because it's World Cup.
Alright, you go top bin then. Is the top bin's World Cup?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going top, Ben.
So wait, what?
Normal two question.
Two. Normal question. All. Winner takes all.
Or tiebreaker.
Or tiebreaker. You might go tiebreaker.
Right, let's just play it. Yeah, yeah.
Go.
You going tiebreaker?
Well, it's final
top
question.
Ben. Yes, final question. No, I'm
go
not
top, Ben. You're good at the World Cup. No, if you...
Is my question World Cup?
Yes.
Right, give me the top, Ben, then.
You want the top, Ben?
Yeah, go on then. Fuck
cool.
It.
We'll I will be shut it here.
Gabs. Italy, your second team on the international stage.
Possibly first, depends who qualifies for the World Cup, yeah.
Had the surprise top scorer at the 1990 World Cup.
Yeah.
But what was his name?
Toto Scarlatti.
You just got to be a smart arse, you're not even just, you just got to give the answer?
Yeah, Toto Scarlatti.
You're a prick.
I could tell you all the World Cup top scorers, mate.
Right, I need to go top bin for an equaliser.
Come on.
I've no chance.
Daz, to equalise, to make it 4-4 and take it to a tiebreaker.
Right, come on.
How many games have Scotland won at the World Cup?
Collectively?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good
Fuck
question.
Fuck off.
Come on, think, what are we? Seven World Cups? They played at 58, but I don't know what happened then.
Seven World Cups.
74 million. I'd be going low.
Oh, I'm going low, mate. Don't you worry. I'll say 16.
What? No, guess again. How many games have we won? Not played. One.
All right.
One.
One. No. I would say eight. Eight.
Is it? You're going for eight.
What was it?
I think that's too high.
So, what? I'll go through them in order.
Fuck off. I've won more than...
1974, 2-0 versus Zaire.
Yeah, Joe Jordan.
1978,
Peter Lorimer.
3-2 versus the Netherlands.
Yeah, famously.
Archie Gemmell.
1982, 5-2 versus New Zealand. And the game we just mentioned, the previous question, 2-1 versus Sweden in Italia 90.
Is that all we've won in World Cup?
That's all.
Many is that?
Four.
I would have gone five. Four, that's so bad. How many World Cups we've been at? I think we've been at seven.
And we've only won four games.
Only won four games, which means...
How many games?
Seven times three, probably.
I don't know, but the answer's four, which means Gabs has won this week's quiz.
Right, tell us what the normal question was.
Champ again.
You want
champion
to know the
again.
You want to know the normal quiz?
Yeah.
Which American singer famously missed a penalty during the opening ceremony of the 94 World Cup?
I think I know that one. Do you want to go?
American singer?
Yes, she put a penalty wide. So she... And the goal broke because it was meant to break when she scored.
Fucking hell. What year?
94.
94?
Yeah.
American singer. I don't know any American
singer.
Is it
Diana Ross?
That'd be brilliant if it is, mate.
It was indeed Diana Ross.
Nothing left to show.
Woo!
Mate, you're on fire at that.
It was very good.
I don't like World Cups. I think they're shit.
After just saying he loves World Cups.
No, the questions, see all that. What
you don't
gear?
Love World Cup questions.
Ah, oh, you fucking, you, oh, you are that dynamite at that, mate.
That means Gabs has done Stephen a huge favour when he returns to the podcast, keeps him alive in the quiz.
You did, Gabs. Oh, you were good today.
Thanks, mate.
See, for somebody that's as rough as a badger's arse.
Maybe I need a crisis buster every weekend. Oh,
right, I'm excited with that.
Oh, I know, me too, mate.
Right.
Listen, thank you everyone for listening. That's all we've got time for on this World Cup preview special of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching at home. I've been Gabriel Antoniazzi. This has been Gordon DL. Don't forget, Super Scoreboard is back for its lovely 2-hour usual self when the World Cup begins. Scotland playing on Saturday. Well, Sunday if you're watching it back here. Some of us are heading over to America. Some of us will be staying in Scotland. Some of us will be watching wherever we live in the world. Thank you very much for watching, and come on Scotland. We will see you next time.